everybody. Welcome to our second episode of the Francast. This is really exciting. We loved doing the first episode on the pilot. And today we're going to talk about season one, episodes 2, 3, and 4. And so we're going to cover a lot of ground. It's going to be really fun. And so we definitely want to hear your feedback. And I'm film critic Rachel Wagner. I'm joined by my very friend Larry's here.
Hello. Thanks for having me back.
Yes. And Colleen is here.
Again.
All right. So we enjoyed doing the pilot, and was it fun for you guys diving into these three episodes?
Yeah, it was quite enjoyable. It's like nonstop gags. It's like it away.
Yeah, I think that they are pretty strong. I mean, I think with almost any show, that first season is pretty strong, because it's like when the writers are really fresh, they've got their full of ideas, and then it starts to get a little more rough around season. I don't know, a really good show, it'll be good through 4 seasons, I feel like, and then it gets a little desperate. But most shows, I feel like the writers have 2 seasons of really good ideas, but this show, I think, is a solid 4. I think there's some of the later seasons aren't as good, but still, I still really enjoy it. So anyway, I felt like these 3 were a lot of fun, so I'm excited to talk about them.
Yeah, they were fun.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, let's just dive in, because like I said, we have a lot to talk about. And the first one is called Smoke Gets in Your Lies. And this is as a result of Brighton getting caught smoking, Fran takes him to see Grandma Yetta, who has been smoking all her life. So, Larry, what were your overall thoughts on this episode?
It was yay, introduction to Yetta for the first time. Yeah. there's a lot of just kind of like fun, random things. I also really loved, obviously, Carol Channing and her little guest appearance. Yeah. It's just like a funny, fun little episode.
Yeah. Yeah. What did you think, Colleen?
I enjoyed it a lot. I don't remember this episode that well, which is kind of funny. Mm-hmm. I don't know why I couldn't remember a lot of it. I remember pieces of it, but not, the whole thing. I thought it was very funny, and it was a lot going on in this episode. And it's funny did you just read what the plot line was, or the summary of it? Because that's like so, it's at the end of the episode.
Right now.
It's all part of it. But yeah, it's very memorable. It's definitely the most memorable part.
Right.
But it was a good one.
Yeah.
So, this is the one I think I was referring to last week. So she didn't get fired, but this is the one where they have like a talk of like, wait, Brighton like defended you or like took the fall.
Yeah.
I was like, this is the one I was thinking of just last week, but it wasn't the first episode. It was the second episode.
Yeah. And so it starts out with that Brighton thinks he's really cool. And Fran says, no, you're not cool. I'll tell you about who is cool. And she starts to tell him the story about this guy in her high school. And I didn't love him. She says, who are you, Edward G. Robinson? You think I'm going to be intimidated by somebody who can walk under a coffee table?
Yeah.
That was a funny line, I thought. She tells him the story, and then he comes back and tries to trick her into signing a report from the principal, and she doesn't buy it at all, which was really good. And they say later that the previous nanny got carpal tunnels for all the signing of all the stuff for Brighton. And it is cute at the beginning with she wants to show off the house to Val.
Yeah.
And Val's like, I'm dying. And I thought that was funny. And I don't know what, so we were going to divide this up in between a great line for Fran and a great line for Niles. But it really didn't, I was surprised watching these 3 episodes. There wasn't a ton of Niles Cece time in any of these episodes, really.
Cece actually had like my favorite line of this episode. I just love when Mr. Sheffield first comes up to her and is like, what do you want? Like, what's the point of having a nanny? And then she's just like, Maxwell, what is the point of having a nanny? And he's like, is that not what I just said? And she's like, yes, but I wanted to say it too. That was like my favorite like little singer moment was actually from Miss Babcock at this one.
Yeah. Well, and I do you think that they could get away with now having a kid get caught smoking?
I think there's been other shows. Of course, the one I think of most readily was actually Roseanne, which was also in the 90s. But right. their approach was like much more severe. They have him like try to smoke a whole pack of cigarettes or something. I mean, it was like that was the idea. I think so. I feel like there's been another sitcom not too long ago that has kind of delved into a kid smoking, but I'm no TV expert, so what am I saying?
Yeah, I don't know. What do you think, Colleen?
I don't know. I mean, I'm not sure if smoking cigarettes is something they might do these days. I mean, I don't know. I mean,
maybe a vape? I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, frankly,
something a little stronger.
Yeah. I mean, frankly,
or is it just alcohol? I mean, that's always a problem for teens, I feel, no matter what.
Yeah, so. I honestly could picture having a pot be a plot point easier
more
than,
so. Yeah.
than cigarettes because they're just so not, they're just so out of favor right now, I feel like, as they should
definitely.
Be. They're disgusting.
I mean, I guess I could see before all this before like the vaping controversy came up in the last few months, maybe vaping, or even now, maybe a vaping thing, but I feel like people don't know as much about that. Mm-hmm. I don't even know how, I mean, I'm not a smoker. I've never really been a smoker, but I don't know how that works.
Yeah.
So, but that's
I could
kind
see
of
that.
A hot topic, I guess you could say.
Right.
Yeah, like a sitcom-y, bring it up with your kids, learning moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Vaping.
Yes.
Well, they find out that there's this carnival at the school, and so she tells Maxwell that he needs to go to the carnival, and that they need to all go as a family. It can't just be her with the kids. And I think that's another sort of good example of Fran immediately kind of making this group a family. And, and you see that kind of throughout. And I really liked the whole scene with Niles and Fran when she's basically just kind of, it's just sort of exposition scene, but she's talking about her mother and then her grandmother Yetta, and you know, saying, why did I tell that story to a young child? What was I thinking? And now she wants to, you know, tell a fib to Maxwell, but you know, she needs to tell him. Just that whole sort of back and forth I thought was funny between the two of them. And that was, in my opinion, the best line from Niles when he says it's always nice spending time with you and your family.
Yeah. I wrote that down too. How funny.
Yeah.
That was my favorite too. I also really liked where they were at the table and Fran is like backtracking. You know, it's too hot. Oh, well, then it's too cold. Or she starts with cold and then hot. And then he's like, no, we have to go. Or why are you acting like this? She's like, I must have been ovulating.
Yeah.
And then Niles comes up, your eggs, sir, and drops them on the table. I thought that was like such a funny little line that they played off of each other.
That was really funny. I also liked that she introduced us to the term of the Bubbemeister. I'm probably saying that. Bubbemeister, the old wives' tale. That was a good, and I looked it up. That's a real expression. They just make it up. And I love the scene when Maxwell sends Fran to her room.
That was funny. Go to your room.
My favorite. It was so good. And later she becomes a lot more nosy about his plays that he's doing. Because I feel like in later episodes, she would have really freaked out about Carol Channing being there.
Yeah, she
did just a bit, like a little bit, like, oh my gosh. I like that she tried to get like a song in.
Yeah.
Like, oh, cool. Sure. Okay.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pie, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
And my favorite line, though, from Fran was, if I told you to jump off the Empire State Building, hello, that was my mother's voice that just crossed the Queensboro Bridge and came out of my mouth.
Yeah.
That was funny, I thought.
I liked the one that said, she's in the very beginning when Val was coming over and she says, it's her first time at the mansion, so I want her to drop dead. I just thought that was like funny. If you're like still new to the show and you're not, even though you saw the first episode, you're like, ooh, I don't know what to think of this. It's like, ooh, that's a little much. Maybe for some people, I thought it was hilarious.
Yeah. Well, so especially because she said, I'm dead.
Exactly.
I'm dropping dead. Oh my God.
And now it's like mission accomplished.
Yeah.
And that was funny. And so, then they're interviewing all of these composers for this new play. And you do get a little bit of a jabs from Fran about his last play. Evidently wasn't the best. So you see them auditioning some different people, and then she shows up there at the auditions, and that's, you see Carol Channey. He says, I want a big, memorable voice. And she starts singing
Hello,
Dolly.
Everybody knows and recognizes.
Yeah.
He just yells next off of like the first note.
Yeah, exactly. And so she finally tells Maxwell about what's happened, and he says they figure out that, well, this is the first time that Brighton wouldn't have turned her in, and why he didn't say that. And so and Maxwell says, could it be that he likes you? And and so then she's like, I've got the ultimate punishment. And she takes him to go see Grandma Yetta. And so what do we think of Grandma Yetta? It is funny, the actress, Anne Morgan Gilbert, that she was only, I think, 4 or 5 years older than the actress who played her mom. I can't think of her name all of a sudden.
I feel like that's a lot of them do that, like from the Golden Girls, that was kind of the same case as well, where Estelle Getty was like younger than Bea Arthur.
That's so weird.
they really like to age them into like really old people makeup. I feel like she
Renee looks, Taylor, that's the name. I don't know why I can think of it, but yeah, she's only a few years older.
I feel like she looked like more authentically old in this first episode. Yeah. I feel like they went a little bit more like wig-y as Yetta goes on, where this just kind of like looks like old woman in the nursing home smoking.
Yeah. Yeah. It was interesting that you see Fran smoking at the very beginning, and then she's putting it out, and then she's getting food. It's just the next thing. And that, again, I think that's something, I just think smoking is just so not you certainly wouldn't see it on anything Disney or ABC related for sure.
Yeah,
you wouldn't. But
I do love like
CBS, so maybe.
I love when they get mobbed at the end, and she's just like, "Throw the popcorn!" Like,
yeah. Don't say that so loud. They're like, "Don't say that so loud. People are gonna come." And. And so, yeah, she's so funny though. I love Anne Gilbert in this role. She's hilarious as Yetta, and she does a really good job.
Does everyone have a grandmother like that? I didn't. My grandmothers were pretty, one was really quiet and low key, and one was just not the nicest person all the time. But she was never, they weren't fun like her, you know, funny. My grandmothers were not like them. I wish I kind of, you know, I never had that kind of experience with a grandmother. Oh, I know, yeah. They kind of overdo it, but I'm sure there's a lot of grandparents like that out there.
Well, and both of my grandmas were pretty fun. I lost one of them when I was pretty young. Mm-hmm. So, but she was just kind of like a kind person, but they all, I don't know, there's like a certain kind of Hispanic sense of humor that kind of goes along. It's similar in like the feeding ways of like, no, come and eat. Like, no, nobody's hungry. And then I live with my other grandma, so I don't know. Oh, in a lot of ways, she's kind of like my mom. So,
yeah, I was very close to particularly. I mean, I was close to both my grandmas, but I was particularly close to my dad's mom. Both my grandmas actually passed away last year.
Aww.
Yeah, so it was kind of a double whammy. Tough. But I don't know, both of them had their things that they were kind of sticklers on, or that you knew you'd get kind of in trouble on. And both of them had their eccentricities. Mm-hmm. Both of them were loving in different ways. I, you know, had different bonds with them. My Grandma Wagner, I really did feel like she was one of my best friends.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, we really had, and it was funny because everybody, all of the grandchildren felt like they were her best friend. Oh. I remember when she had a heart attack, around in 2009, a heart event, and we were all really worried about her. It's amazing we got another decade with her. It's incredible. Oh. But anyway, and I called my sister who was living near her at the time, and I said, "Will you let me know? Because I'll fly out because we have a special bond, me and Grandma." And she's like, "You don't have any idea how many of the of our cousins have called and said the exact same thing." She had that gift of really making you feel special. And so, yeah, I definitely had a really, and then my grandfather on my mom's side, I was particularly close with both of them. Mm-hmm. And I was close, but it's a special friendship with those two grandparents, one from each side, I guess. But anyway, yeah, I don't think I was ever like punished by, okay, wait till we get to grandma's. She'll tell you what's what. but I definitely knew. I mean, I remember my grandma teaching me how to make a bed, and I would want to kind of just sloppy, and she'd be like, "You can't make half a pie. You have to make the whole thing."
That's so funny.
Yeah. So I was pretty blessed with great grandparents. And
cool.
I mean, the fact that I lost just my last ones at 38, that's pretty lucky, pretty fortunate to have them that long. But anyway, so yeah, it's really fun, and we'll see her throughout. She's pretty sarcastic, and later on in the series ends up dating Ray Charles, which is really random.
Yes.
And so did you guys have any lines, any other lines that you liked?
Well, I think we covered all the best lines of the episode. Yeah,
I think so.
Well, let's talk about the fashion. So she wears so many high jeans. It's unbelievable. Got those 90s high jeans, which look good on no one. I saw that they were coming back into fashion, and I just thought, no way. That was definitely a style that I thought it will never come back. It's so unflattering.
I really like the pink checkered skirt.
I did like that. Yes.
That she started the episode with. So with the matching jacket and the pink checkered skirt. Mm-hmm. I thought that was really cute. I like her skirt suit outfits the most. She wears another one.
Yeah, she's rocking the turtlenecks a lot in these episodes. And it starts out, she has kind of a red vest and jeans, high jeans.
Yeah.
And then, she has a jacket with buttons. And you actually see that in the next episode, the jacket with buttons.
I was going to say that. You actually see two things, I noticed.
Two things, yes.
Yeah.
A rainbow vest. It's both of her rainbow outfits. It's that black jacket with the little multicolored buttons, and then that rainbow vest. So I was the budget, it's a little small to begin, I see. We're repeating outfits. You're not supposed to repeat back to back, Fran. We need to spread them out a little bit.
I wonder how many bathrobes they ended up buying for this show, though.
I don't know.
There are so many. I think this was the same one, though, from the pilot, in this one.
And then it changes.
And she has a plaid skirt with a black vest. Lots of 90s fashion. Just the worst. Vests, turtlenecks, high jeans. What's that?
I grew up in the 80s. You're just a little, a few years younger than me. '80s fashion was better than the 90s, in my opinion.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you got those terrible, you've got shoulder puffs fluffy blouses and
high-waisted jeans. Oh!
I mean, even if you are super skinny and a model, it still looks terrible. Everyone looks horrible in high jeans. They're so unflattering. I think, at least.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, and her best look was probably the introductory look with the red vest and the jeans. But all these vests, vests, turtlenecks, and high jeans are just the worst.
I'm trying to think in my life how many times I've worn a vest. I mean, I think when I was in grade school, I'd wear a uniform, but I'd wear a vest, but that was about it. I never really was a vest person.
Vests also, I mean, you have to have a very particular body type to, as a woman particularly, to be able to even wear a vest. It can't be too top heavy, or a vest just is not going to work for you.
And they're too boxy, a lot of them. The sweater vests that men wear that women, I know the Gap used to sell stuff like that, I think. Mm-hmm. And I'm it was too boxy. It just made you look like a big box, a square. It didn't work.
Yeah. So it's going to be fun to kind of keep track of that, because it's a little bit rough, because then she has the suit coat. At first she's wearing the plaid skirt and the pink turtleneck and the black vest as its own thing, and then you see it later with the suit coat on top. I thought it was a different outfit at first, and then I realized it wasn't. And so I mean, I think this one's pretty funny. It has some good lines, some good moments between Fran and Mr. Sheffield. And so I would probably, I was going to say, what do we want our, we're going to give these a rating. So what would be a Fran rating for an episode? I don't know. later on, 10 noosh slaps or whatever it is.
Oh my gosh.
Tenyettas, I don't know. But
for this episode, yeah. Oh,
that's cute. I'd probably give this one a 7 out of 10. It's solid. It's funny. It's not like one of the best, but it's pretty good.
Yeah, I think a 7 is fair.
That's fair.
Yeah.
That's a good reading.
All right. Well, let's talk about My Fair Nanny. And this is Fran hosts a tea party for Maggie's friends. However, Maxwell wonders if Fran has the class to pull it off. And these IMDb subreddits are not very good. I need to find some better ones. And I loved at the beginning when Fran says they're talking about they're talking about Yasser Arafat. It's like we're giving him the Gaza Strip. Would it kill him to take a shave and put a little Faco Robane on? That made me laugh.
This was actually my favorite of the three we watched this time. Yeah. It's so funny. I was like, me oh too. My gosh, I have the most notes here. I'm just like, wow.
So basically, Cece comes in. She's super excited about this. She ran into this debutante, this society lady, and she signed up for Maggie to become
debutante.
Is it a debutante? Debutante.
Yeah.
And so they're gonna have this tea, and that her people came off the Mayflower. And I loved her line, which is, how did the people on the Mayflower know what to pack? Is it cold? Is it rainy? There are no roosters.
Yes.
That was funny. What did you think of this introductory sort of setup of this episode? What did you think, Larry?
Yeah, I thought it was a fun little setup. Of course, we get another kind of Maggie tantrum. I was like, wow, she has like lots of little tantrums throughout the first season. Every episode, she's like huffing and puffing about something, it seems. But I did, oh no, I think that's the next episode. I actually like kind of some of the lines that, now I'm like blanking on the brother's name.
Brighton.
I was like, I wanted to say Benjamin, but that's the name of the actor. that Brighton has with Maggie. Just like the little jabs he throws out. of course, you know, getting any sort of like breakfast table talk in the robe is fun.
Yeah. And this one is like a coral robe.
Yeah, this is the one where I was like, oh, this looks like a little bit of an upgraded robe here, a little fancier robe.
They got signed up. So they got signed on, but just better. Excuse me. I really like, she says, I agree with Miss Babcock. I know, it was an ugly shock for me too. Yeah. Did you have a favorite part of this beginning here for this one?
I just love all the breakfast stuff. Love when she comes down in a robe. Like, she's been there, we don't know how many weeks, but in the first episode, she was there 2 weeks. She just, completely at home, like, right away. Like, I just think it's funny. It's like, hi, honey, I'm home, kind of thing every morning, you know? And it's like, it's just really...
Yeah.
It's hilarious.
Yeah, and she tells Maggie, she's like, I'm gonna tell you all about cliques. It's easy. She's like, it's easy. She says, there's three universal topics that you know what to talk about: boys, clothes, and Bobby Sherman. And I was like, what the heck is Bobby Sherman? And he was actually a singer, I guess, in the 60s.
I knew the name, but I can't think where he's from.
He was kind of, I guess, similar to like David Cassidy.
Oh my goodness.
Teen idol in the 1960s and 70s.
Ooh, he's not so cute now. I could see where he was a teen idol. I could see that.
But I was surprised she didn't, I don't know, pick something like somebody a little more, I mean, I don't know.
Like Davy Jones even or something.
Yeah.
Or like Paul McCartney or,
Yeah. That's right. I don't know. That was funny to me. And she's like, or you can always unite between a common enemy. And I also liked her advice that take the best gift and wrap it in tin foil so you can grab it for yourself.
Yes.
That was good. That was a good one. And the advice for a high school student is probably a little bit lacking to get through the woes of high school. But Cece tells her to have style and flair, which I thought, so that she doesn't have enough style and flair, which I thought was interesting because that's in the song.
Yeah.
Right.
She's got style, she's got flair.
That led to my favorite line of the episode is Niles when Cece's getting ready to leave and he holds out the broom.
Yes. Oh, my favorite too.
And she was just like, Maxwell needs me to get these to London. And he's like, here, hop on. With the time difference, you'll just make it. Yeah. And he's holding out the broom to her. Yeah. I'm like, yes.
And he holds it out a long time. And he's like, you're so not funny. Leaving?
You're just waiting, hello?
You have from Fran, I think, in Niles, and this is my fears are allayed, and at least her fears are getting laid.
Getting laid. Yeah, that was another one I had written down for Fran. That's kind of funny. So good.
Yeah, and so they're planning this party. And so they decide to kind of get into a My Fair Lady mode. Literally, they're quoting My Fair Lady at a certain point. And I can't believe we did it. So we did it. And they're giving her the marbles, just like in My Fair Lady. And how now, brown cow. And it was kind of jarring for me to hear Fran Drescher in a regular voice.
It was weird.
Right? Lower her voice with the R's.
It was weird.
It didn't work. I mean, it worked for the scene, but it was so with person.
It was jarring. And
I love that she calls out other people though. She's like, what about you? You don't say your R's.
Niles,
we can say anything we'd like and people think it's Shakespeare.
It's British. Yeah.
That's not true, because I adore British accents.
Yeah.
And an Australian accent, but British is my favorite. Adore. Yes.
I did too. They try to bring up the Kennedys, and she's like, what? They don't say ours either.
That's right.
What are you talking about? Nobody says they're ours.
Yeah. Well, that was funny. In the last episode, I forgot to say when she's like, Jackie O is her neighbor. Oh, yeah. It's like she's really concerned with John John.
Oh, that was weird. I meant to bring that up.
So weird. And, I liked the line when she says, when I was 14, my mother came to pick me up from school in a halter top and pedal pushes on, and I'm still looking for this right support group.
That was what I wrote down. That was a good one.
Yeah. That made me laugh.
I could picture her mother. Unfortunately, I could picture it.
Yeah. I don't even know what pedal pushers are.
I think those are today's capri pants.
No.
Right below the knee, tighter, something like they wore in maybe in Greece. Dr. Channing's character, what's her name? She wore
Rizzo.
Pants. Rizzo. You know, didn't they wear a shorter pant? I think that's kind of a pedal pusher.
Okay. I wasn't sure if it was just another name for Daisy Dukes or something like that.
No,
or what.
It's a long, it's like a capri middle. Of the
leg
kind of pants.
That would be upsetting. It sounds horrible. So they get the party, and it's all fancy, and Maggie's super bored, and all her friends are bored because Fran had wanted to hire the psychic and do all this stuff, and Maggie, they say will tell her Maggie hates the party. And she says, this was my favorite of the episode for Fran. She says, she obviously missed my cousin Ira's brisk. Make me laugh.
I like the random one-off moments in that party were just like too much. I mean, it is a little bit of a fat shamey joke, but when she says how now brown cow to that woman as she passes by her, I was like, oh my gosh. But I also loved when they're looking at that like little statue thing and just like, oh, this is beautiful. Is it Mayan? No, it's his-in. Like, oh my god. I like audibly laughed. I was like, oh my gosh, it's so ridiculous, but it's funny.
Do you guys recognize Mrs. Wentworth?
No.
So she was on Mama's Family.
Naomi from Mama's Family.
I recognized her from Mama's Family.
I love Mama's Family.
Me
I can
too.
Do a podcast about Mama's Family.
Oh that my gosh. Funny. Wow, I really am like a 90-year-old woman. Like, old girl, Mama's Family. What am I doing?
And the you have Niles that he says that he has very proud of my command of both the fancy and the schmancy. And I feel like that's we'll hear that. I feel like he says that a lot. And that was pretty funny. And he says, not that there will be any cows at the party. That's what you think. That made me laugh.
Yeah, that was another. Yeah, this one had a lot of good zingers to me, just like constantly. Even that little girl, like, kind of making fun of Brighton as he, like, continually tries to, like, hit on her.
Right. Yeah.
Like, oh, my.
Things you couldn't get away with in 2020. All the PC police would be out there getting people in trouble.
And then you have the kind of the confrontation between Maggie and Fran, and Maggie says, I'd kill to be like you. You don't have to change, which was actually a pretty sweet moment, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, I think obviously the messaging of this one was really, really nice about, you know, being you, staying true to you.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
That was great.
And it was fun. I think the homages to My Fair Lady were fun.
I did like the fortune teller, too, with Cece.
Yes.
I don't see handsome anything in your future. I told you a million times.
Well, and at the very beginning, Niles says they selected new dilettante for the biosphere. That was actually, there was a movie at Sundance. It ended up not being very good, but there was a movie at Sundance all about the biosphere. And it was this crazy, weird thing that happened in the 90s that they did this whole, people were going to supposedly live in this biosphere for like 2 years. Oh. Totally self-contained. But it ended up kind of fizzling out. But anyway, that was interesting. And so the fashion on this one, we see that button jacket again.
Yes.
But this time it's with a blue turtleneck. Yeah, the turtlenecks. And then, we said the coral bathrobe. Mm-hmm. And then we have high jeans with the rainbow sweater and a black turtleneck. And then I did like the scene with Maxwell going through Fran's closet.
That was funny.
He pulls out the dress bag.
Yeah.
Perfect.
And so she ends up with this beige dress with her hair all up.
With that little scarf on.
Yeah. And I feel like this is not the because later on in the series you see Bobby Fleckman where she's, but that's like actually a different person also played by Fran. It's kind of the same thing. And so this one
she ends up with that like kind of red little outfit at the very end after they throw the real party.
Oh yeah.
That was definitely like
The red there you go, that ruffles, all those ruffles up on the top, like pirate styled ruffles up at the top of her shirt with the skirt.
That must have been why they had the pirate shirt episode of Seinfeld. Like, that was
so many. Like, that was like the fashion. Like, all them ruffles up at the top by your neck. You had the big wavy like arms. I don't know.
It's just so it was so unflattering. Like, nobody looks good when they're all chopped up like that. Like, when their waist is so high and they're you've got really boxy shoulder pads and
it's just awful.
It's awful. But yeah, this one I do think is a little bit better than the first one we talked about. So I'd probably give this one I don't know. I'll give this one an 8, I guess. It was pretty funny.
God, I think I would have gone with like an 8.5.
Round cows.
There you go. I'll go with an 8. I think that's a good one. That's a good number.
Yeah. All right, so then our last episode is the Nunchlap. Nunchlap. I don't know how to say it. It's hard to say. But it's when Fran acts as a chaperone on Maggie's date, Maggie's boyfriend shows an interest in Fran instead. So this one is a kind of a weird episode. It has some really funny stuff, but... I don't know, Colleen, what did you think about this one overall?
Good. It was probably my least favorite of the three.
Yeah.
I mean, it was cute to see James Marsden again, or Jimmy Marsden, or whatever you want to call him. I don't know. Not my favorite. I mean, it was okay. It was funny. Yeah. It did have some funny stuff. I just thought the whole chaperone thing, I mean, I get the point of it, but it was just very awkward. I mean, couldn't she have at least
sat a couple rows back?
Thank you.
Well, I mean, that's what Maxwell says.
The whole point of the old people next to her, I guess they wouldn't have been able to do that, but that was a lot. I thought that went too far with being a chaperone. I mean,
yeah.
You had his moments.
Yeah, I mean, that's what Maxwell says. Like, couldn't you just sat in the back? Like,
what are you doing? Like, why did you sit right by them?
It makes almost think Fran's mother did that or something at some point in her life. You know, yeah. I mean, you got to wonder where that came from, that she would be right there in her face. That's just awkward.
I think in her mind, she was thinking that was going to be, she was going to be able to help Maggie or something like that, but... But yeah, and he's like, even the dog preferred you over Cece.
Oh my God.
He's like, that's just animal instinct. But yeah, and so it starts out where Niles is sick. And what did you think, Larry, of the whole, his saying he feels queer and that whole get out of the closet thing?
I mean, a part of it was just like, I mean, they are in like a little...
It's a butler's closet.
Yeah, a little butler's closet. So I was like, oh, okay, it's a weird little double entendre. I thought they were just going to go that route of her literally telling him to get out of the closet instead of him taking it like the metaphorical way. I almost wish they had gone like her being like, no, get out of the closet, like get out of here. I don't know, it was a weird little intro, because it's like one of the first parts of the episode and you're just like, oh, all right, hello.
Yeah, well, and she also takes his temperature with her mouth, which was kind of a weird moment.
What, she's like, wow, you got talented lips. She's like, you don't know the half of it. It's like, oh, all right.
Yeah, I mean, especially because the thing that dates it even more than kind of having that as a joke, the whole don't ask, don't tell, but
Miles come out
of the closet.
The first part was awkward enough, but then that, I think that made it like even weirder.
I mean, that's just so dated. I mean, do people even remember? I mean, I'm sure if it affected you that you do, but still. That's just so a creature of the time.
Yeah, it's a very awkward like way to open up the episode.
Yeah. So she says, well, I'm just going to have to do some cooking, or I'm going to have to provide dinner. And she picks up the phone and calls and gets Chinese. And And she says they can order the family dinner. And then Gracie is talking. She says that we can get the dysfunctional family dinner. And that's, they promise you shrimp and then don't give it to you. And I did like the line too. This is probably one of my favorites from her. She says that we order Chinese food and they can learn how Jewish people eat.
Yeah, about learning about other cultures.
Yeah. I did have one time where I went to you know, the whole thing that supposedly Jewish people go to Chinese food on Christmas. I had one time where I was by myself and I didn't have anywhere to eat or anything, so I went to Chinese restaurant by me for it was either Christmas Eve or Christmas, and it was packed. I was like, wow, the myth is true.
It's true. You say that because this past Christmas I was in Ohio and I stayed at my sister's house, and my nephew was there with his wife. They live out of the area, they live a couple hours away, so they stayed overnight, and we had a nice dinner. All of us family was over. And in the evening, they went and got Chinese and brought it back because they said that's their annual tradition. So I ended up having Chinese food on Christmas night with them, which I thought was funny. I've never done that before.
Yeah. Yeah, it is funny. It's true. I like that, you know, it takes so long. She's like, I should be hungry again already. Yeah. And so we also find out that Maxwell has given Cece a dog.
What do you think of that scene? Chester! I guess I thought he came a little bit later, so I was just shocked because I remembered Chester, her little Pomeranian. Mm-hmm. But I was like, oh, look at, I did love the line of like fluffy and a good judge of character.
Yeah, that was a good line from Niles.
It was like my favorite line of this episode from him. I thought it was a really cute scene. I think Chester is adorable. And I of course love the callback at the end of the episode when it comes to Chester, but yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know that was Fran's dog
in real life. Oh, I did not.
Really?
Yeah, if you look at it, it says, if in the credits, it says his name and Drescher, the last name of the dog.
Oh,
I forget the name.
Oh my goodness, wow.
Chester Drescher or whatever.
Yeah,
it's her dog.
I do like this. She's like, oh, he's like a little chestnut. He's a Chester. She's like, I'll name my dog. Thank you very much. And then he's like, it's mad. Chester, it is.
Yeah. So it turns out the delivery man of the Chinese food is Maggie's first kiss from the pilot from the backers party. And yeah, it's her, James Marsden, back
this
again.
This time we get a good look at James Marsden, little baby James Marsden.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And he asks Maggie out on a date, and they're, of course, really excited. And then they realize, oh, we've got to tell Maxwell. And I don't know if this is the first time that she's kind of sat on the corner of his desk, but that definitely became a thing, you know, on the show with her.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And he's asking her, and he says, "Is this somebody I know? Does anybody really know anybody?" That was funny.
That's cute.
And she says that he's saving up to go to Yale. And I'm not talking about the locksmith school.
I just love when he's like, well, what is he studying? And she's like, mama. Yeah,
that's good.
Yeah, and he's like, what? Drama.
Yeah. Yeah, my daughter wants to date an actor.
I'm like, well, Maxwell, you are in the theater business. Doesn't seem all that far-fetched to me.
Yes, and then he says, you see what you've done? You made me look like an ogre. And then she says, maybe the word ogre was mentioned. And I love when she starts telling the story about Teresa Pilloni. And you mean the casting director? She's like, the legend lives on.
Yes. That's my favorite. Like, yeah, the legend lives on was like my favorite Fran moment. Well, her direct line.
Yeah. That was so funny. As you know, I'll let her go on the date, but you've got to go with her. You got to be the chaperone. And she says, what? I don't want to be the chaperone. I want to be the new schlep. And, and
she even gives you a tutorial in the episode where John had to say it.
New schlep. New schlep. I don't know how to say it.
He's just like, what?
And so she's really bummed. And so the next part is actually on the date, like you said, Colleen. And and I, you know, it was a pretty good line that when she says, look at the size of this thing, it should come with a lifeguard.
Right.
That was so pretty good. Funny.
I loved that little old couple. So I was like, I mean, I guess if that's what we have to do to get the little old couple in here.
Yeah.
No schlep is getting irritated.
Yeah.
That good was hour fun. One.
Yeah, they were good. Yeah. I swear these shows from the 90s all used the same theater set. When they it always looks exactly the same to me. Yeah. If you watch any of them. And so
I mean, it was a little much with like Maggie yelling. And you're like, I mean, come on, girl, this is a little bit much.
But, yeah, that was a little loud.
Yeah,
I did like that the person they showed in front of them like turned real quick when she started like yelling.
But I don't know. I mean, that first date is so awkward. Your first, like, it's just the worst. I did love
when they play the music and the lights go down, and she's like, "There is a God" or whatever.
Yeah, and I think it's Maggie who says, "Oh, you do. You just push, push, push." And she's like, are you implying that I push? but yeah, that those when you're in, I mean, we weren't allowed in my family, we weren't allowed to date until we were 16. Uh-huh. That was the rule. And but even then, it's 16, supposedly Maggie's 14. It's still so awkward. It's I don't know.
It doesn't get better when you're in your 20s either.
Yeah. It really does. It's just awkward. Dating's super awkward. And especially when you're young.
Yes.
It's really, really embarrassing and awkward. And so yeah. But yeah, and she's just kind of like, look, it's a drink. That's like all she has. It's big.
It's big.
Yeah.
It's so big that I don't think I'll be able to finish it.
Yeah. So I have to say, so where this episode kind of loses me is then the next day or whenever, then Fran gets a call from Eddie and kind of asking her out. And Maggie like storms out. She's so upset. And I guess the thing is that like, why would anybody in the world think that she would even go on a date with him? Like the way that the episode treats it is like they're a couple and like that's semi-valid. Like it's kind of bizarre to me. I mean, she's in her 30s. We know that. Yep. And they're just treating it as like, I don't know. It was just too sort of accepted that, okay, now Fran's going to go on a date with this guy. And what? He's 17, right? 16, something like that.
Yeah. So that something like was, that because he's a delivery driver.
Yeah. And I'm like, this is illegal. Like, literally, it's illegal. Yeah. So the whole fact that Maggie took it so seriously and that Fran kind of acted like she was accepting a date with this kid, I feel like that is just weird and I didn't like it.
Yeah, the whole thing, I don't know, they played off too much. Yeah, like Fran was a high school student with her, like her actual like 14-year-old best friend.
Yeah.
Where they should have just played it like he has a crush on her, and yes, that would hurt Maggie's feelings, but like Fran, you know, being like, clearly not, you know, I don't know, there was a way to play that better, more of a him having a crush on her, but Fran being like, look, stop
like,
it.
Let him
this
down
is outrageous.
Easy. You know, like have a little conversation and be like, you know,
know. And it's like they had that girl code moment, but yeah, it was just like a really awkward scenario.
Yeah, because it was just treated as like totally valid that like she's going to go on a date with this kid.
Yeah.
Which is so weird. And
I just liked Brighton's little like line at her. Like, is that sarcasm from our dear Margaret? When she says, you know, take it like you take everything else or whatever at the breakfast table.
Yeah. Well, and that's when we get the, even the dog preferred you over Cece. I get that line.
Yeah.
So that's pretty good. And yeah, the girlfriend's code. The first is you never gossip about your BFF, which is a totally moronic rule that nobody follows. That was kind of funny. And then if a girl falls for a guy and the guy falls for her effervescent but totally blameless friend, then the aforementioned friend is obliged to dump him. And Maggie's like, you would do that for me? I'm like, yeah, what? See,
that's where it's
like. He's a child. She's an adult.
I like your stories. Yeah, I like the stories about like Val's boyfriend's falling for her and then she goes to tell the reverse and she's like, oh wait, that never happened.
Yeah.
Oh, never mind. Did anyone else notice that she puts a Malamar down and doesn't finish it and gets another one and then they're like gone?
Yeah, and she's like, because then it's when it comes to chocolate, it's every girl for herself.
Yeah, so like she puts one down on the bed. So I was like, oop, sorry, just production error. The Malamars, you have an unfinished one sitting on the bed, Fran, that you should have eaten before you grabbed that new one, yeah. The last one in the box.
And then evidently she's been telling girlfriend code rules for like the whole day, because when later on it's number 27. It jumps to number 27. It's just because you're dumping someone doesn't mean you shouldn't look your best. And again, it makes no sense. Why would she be dumping?
And it's also like, I see that verbiage. It's also like you're not dumping him. You're rejecting him. You know, like it's like even just that verbiage is not right. It's like dumping infers that you're in a relationship.
Yeah. Like, they haven't even been on a date and he's a child.
And it does. I mean, I think the wording of all of it could have really just made the episode a lot less weird.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah, definitely. And turns out he just wants her to give Mr. Sheffield his resume. And so then everybody's listening in the butler's pantry. And I'm a big fan of the whole idea of a butler's pantry, by the way. Because now people in their houses have these open floor plans and everything like that. I hate that, because the thing that was so great about a butler's pantry is you could close it and nobody would see all your mess in the kitchen.
I want one so bad.
Now with all these open floor plans, you invite people over for dinner and everyone sees all of your mess. Like you can't, I would love to be able to just close the door and enjoy it. The dinner party and nobody know how chaotic and a mess my house is, but that's a tangent. it's true. And so
I do like how quickly everybody moved, though. I was like, they were all like in their head planned like to grab something. Niles returning the ladle.
Well, I was just like, what were people expecting? She's gonna go on a date with a 17-year-old? Like, what?
It's not crossing a line, but you know, your mind could go there, and that's just creepy.
And then she's crossing a line.
And then it's really weird, too, because, like, again, since she's the one who gets rejected, like, it's just so weird, but,
yeah,
like, I guess it's a bruise to your ego that you're not wanted by a 16-year-old boy. I don't know, but then she's, like, so disappointed, like, resigned as she comes in, like, embarrassed. And it's like, I mean, I guess you should be embarrassed because you should have never, like, gone this far with this whole charade in the beginning.
Yeah,
I mean, they play it so, so weird. And he brings her, like, pork to bribe her.
Yeah, he brings her spare ribs. That's right. Yeah. So this one's kind of a weird one. The fashion in this one, she wears the rainbow vest again.
Yes.
With a puffy shirt. Mm-hmm. And then there's a black suit with cutouts.
Yeah, like that was actually my favorite. That was like definitely my favorite of this episode, but maybe of all three. I really liked the sleeve cutouts and those like gold studs on it. I was like, oh, that's good. Yeah.
That was good. And then she has a green robe at breakfast.
Yes.
This one. And then we see high jeans with a white shirt quilted. well, she has like a kind of a undershirt. And then the on top of it is sort of, it's not really quilted, but it's like a, it looks like a bunch of patches on the pattern of the shirt. Yeah. It's like a green and red, and there's a little blue. It was really ugly. I hated that shirt. But
her hair, though, looked really good in the
shirt.
That was what I noticed, is I was like, I feel like she didn't have it quite up so tight like she does often, like in that little bun half pony. I was like, wow, her hair looks so good in this episode.
Yeah, I love when I get lots of curl, when I get big hair. I love that. That's my favorite thing in the whole world.
Oh my gosh, but a fashion moment not from her that I loved, because it was a gag, was when Cece walks in with that like fox around her neck, and everyone's just like, oh, like aghast until Chester runs in the room.
Chester. Oh my gosh,
that was cute.
She's just like, you better watch out, little guy.
and then her dumping outfit is it was a cool skirt. I liked the skirt. It was like it wasn't a zebra print, but it was black and white, kind of geometric, and a white turtleneck, of course. And then she has a red blazer on there. So yeah, a lot of
black. I think she gets away from the turtlenecks soon. I don't know about the first season. It might be a whole first season of turtlenecks, but I definitely know as we go on, it's more like actual dresses and like skirt stuff without the turtleneck constantly being there. Yes.
I don't remember the turtleneck so much, but
it's a lot of every episode it's turtlenecks.
It is. Woo! But yeah, so this one I would probably give a 5 to.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah. Five Pomeranians.
Yeah. So there we go. That is these three episodes. Let us know if you're listening, which one is your favorite and what you like about these episodes. And we'd love to hear your thoughts.
Do you agree about high-waisted jeans?
Yes. maybe you're thrilled it's coming back. I don't know.
Let us know if we're wrong and high-waisted jeans deserve the resurrection they are getting.
Yeah. So, yeah, all the fashion choices, what's your favorite of these sets? It's like they came out with the bang with her, that red dress, and that was pretty timeless in the pilot.
Yes.
That red dress, definitely. I feel like. But thanks for... We're interesting. And so anyway, let us know your thoughts. And I'm working on hopefully making a separate Francast Twitter and some other things, but we're just kind of making this up as we go. So forgive us with that. And so Larry, where can people find you?
Yeah, you can find me on YouTube as well as Instagram and Twitter, all at LC Screen Talk.
Great. And Colleen, what about you?
You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at LELE44094, LELE44094.
Great. And you can find me at Rachel's Reviews, all of our social media, iTunes, YouTube, and on Rotten Tomatoes. So check that out and check out the Homeworkies podcast at Homeworkies Pod or Homeworkies Podcast, all of our social media and on iTunes and YouTube. And if you're listening on iTunes, please leave us your ratings and reviews. We appreciate it so much. And we'd really love to have your feedback for any segment suggestions or as other ideas that you might have. We'd love to hear your thoughts. And if you're listening on YouTube, please give us a thumbs up and subscribe to the channel. We appreciate that so much as well. We have our patron group, which is really fun. I know times are tough, but if you have any extra, it really means a lot to us. And we try to give you giveaways and other fun stuff to make that worth it. And then we have our merch store, which has a lot of fun designs. So check that out as well. And thanks, you guys. This is so much fun. We hope you all are safe and and well, and we'll look forward to next week. Bye, everyone.
Bye.